fun stuff on here.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 816 on the AM dial, 860 on the AM dial. And I just want to say that as we gather on this Wednesday, December the 14th, it is cold in Philadelphia. Ooh la la, is it cold. And I'm going to ask that all of you contact your family and friends and invite them to tune in here on 860 AM radio. And if they have Alexa, just say Alexa 860 AM radio. And of course, you can go direct to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And of course, we have rebroadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that is simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, you know, we have a lot of unbelievable things going on in America. This is a wonderful season of the year. People are getting to do a lot of things together at all sorts of events and Christmas parties and holiday parties. And I want to send out this special wish to all of you and, of course, encourage you to support your local businesses as we celebrate December as National Small Business Month. First of all, before I go into saying a few words about that, I want to say thank you to our panel members. And they include Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And by the way, right on the front page of American Workers Radio, there is a special Christmas message that we received from the Made in America store. Just click on it. It's a 5-minute message, and you'll enjoy it very, very much. And if there is any way that you can do some shopping at Mark Andel's store, remember that's also very much appreciated because he is one of our featured people here on the broadcast. Also joining us today is Larkin Conley. He's a national small business advocate. And also we'll be having some discussion with Bruce Bassett Powell. And Rich Loges is on a special assignment, and we'll hope to hear from him next week or after the Christmas holiday. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Always very pleased to be here with you as we try our best to make sure that good things happen in promoting American workers. Well, the holiday season's upon us, and as we enjoy the holidays, please do help our businesses. During the month of December, we've been promoting National Small Business Month, and it's been a very great success. And it's there to help America's small businesses that offer products and services, not only during this holiday season, but throughout the year. That's very important to remember that small businesses depend upon us 12 months of the year. It's important also to note that small businesses employ more than 60 million Americans, and 70% of every dollar spent at local businesses is recirculated within local economies. And what do I mean by that? Well, they pay their property taxes, they pay employee taxes, they pay all sorts of profit taxes. They do everything to help communities. They keep communities vibrant. And those dollars are very important to communities. Your business also adds to the well-being of employment opportunities for our fellow Americans, which is really what it's all about. I also would like to note that beginning this evening and also again tomorrow and Friday, we have a new mid-month newspaper ad that is going to be in the many editions of the newspapers in the Philadelphia area promoting December as National Small Business Month. You can see the ad in all zoned editions of the Northeast Times, And also, it will be in the Philadelphia Metro tomorrow. And if you don't see the Metro where you shop or you live outside of the Philadelphia area, you can go to metrophiladelphia.com and be able to see the ad. Just click on the December 16th edition. Now, when you click on that edition, you can see that ad and all the other businesses that are trying to welcome your business during this special time of year. And then also, it's going to be in all editions of the Star newspaper, both in Port Richmond and Bridesburg. And I want to say a special thank you to the people and the individuals from different families that are helping us promote these advertisements in the paper. If you live in those areas, pick up the paper. That's the Star newspaper, the Bridesburg, the Port Richmond, also the all editions of the Northeast Times and the major edition of the Philadelphia Metro. And you can check out the Philadelphia Metro. Once again, that address is Metro Philadelphia, all spelled out, .com, and you'll see the ad for tomorrow. It'll be in there. You know, I want to just say that we've had a lot of good responses from people in the last few weeks regarding December as American Made Month. We did try to get the message out to the Small Business Administration, a lot of local chambers of commerce have been talking about it. And I mean to tell you, it's been very nice. So we also had a very special note from Mark Andel. And Mark sent me this information. Mark got this and he sent it to me. And it said, an email he received says, it would be great if Mark Andel could position himself as the spokesman for the December as National Small Business Month and also the first weekend of every month as you guys promote National Small Business Weekend and for Mark to do that in the Philadelphia area. Mark's weekly participation as a featured guest on American Workers Radio broadcast in the Philadelphia and Tri-State area makes him a great spokesman for this effort. Now, he's saying also in this email to Mark, every local chamber of commerce and small business community needs as much publicity as possible for this effort to remind residents of their commitment to help American workers, small businesses first, and to keep America's economy alive. This is the type of thing that I hear from people on a regular basis. And this gentleman, who Mark Andel knows, also told him about, suggested maybe making a new logo for next year as a marketing tool, which could be given out to all the chambers of commerce and they could, you know, change it as they want, but the logo would be the same. And I think that's a very wonderful thing. And I'm going to ask to talk to Mark Andel about that. Hey, Mark, how are you doing? First of all, I did receive your All-American Christmas and I send it out to some of the people that in the chambers and all. And I want to say it was a great presentation and I hope that many people will respond and do shopping at your store, not only during December, but throughout the year. Mark, first of all, how is everything going on, and what did you think of that email that you received?
Yeah, Mike, a lot going on. You know, hope all is well with you, Mike, and Larkin, and Rich, and Henry always making us sound good. Yeah, a lot. You know, last week, first, we had that All-American Christmas last Saturday, and just a great day, you know, throughout the pandemic in the last 30 months. You know, everybody didn't show. There was different reasons why, but this was a full event again, Mike. And, you know, we had 14, 15 vendors, Yingling Beer, the oldest brewery in the country, right in your backyard. And they sent two representatives, and Ricky Lee sang, and we had Santa Claus for the kids. And just great to see my parents were there and family and friends. Just great to see, you know, relationships you've built through the years and what it's really all about. I know, Mike, you're into that. your hearts into that. I love seeing, meeting, and greeting people. And our movement's very alive. People are very appreciative of what we've done. But it is the Christmas season. You know, we got the 30-day run. There's not a lot of days left till Christmas, you know, maybe 12. And that's the 30-day run you do from Black Friday to Christmas. But, you know, we are seeing people buy Made in America products, trying to make it an all-American Christmas. And we love that. So it's been decent. The weather's been okay here for people to get out shopping. So we're enjoying. It's that time that you need. But I can't say enough for the Made in America movement, your show. And talking about making it, you know, an all-American Made in America or Buy American month of December, Dorothy Fortney, you know, Dorothy here runs my business to business, and she loved the idea of what you're doing and try to go national with that Made in America or Buy American month of December. And I do think we can go further with that, Mike. It's just everybody, again, we just got to keep reminding them, keep teaching them and educating them on the importance of supporting the country you live in and why. And I think as long as we keep doing that for 2023, Mike, we're going to be successful. You got to be redundant, unfortunately. You've got to stick to it. We've got to get more manufacturing here. I had a lady in Rhode Island, Darlene, and from Aris Manufacturing, and they make jewelry. And Rhode Island in the later 80s or early 90s had 30, 40 jewelry manufacturers. They're all made here. And now there's only four left, and they're one of them, Aris USA, and they employ 50 to 100 employees. They actually make the caps that go on Tito's Vodka, 1.2 million caps a week also. But having her on my show yesterday, just she's sad from what's happened in the last 20, 30 years, and she witnessed it. But they're doing well, but there's only four jewelry manufacturers left in Rhode Island where there was 30, 40, and, you know, they chose to go overseas. But she's proven that you can do it here, Mike. We will get her on this show because I think you will appreciate her.
Yes, in fact, Mark, I'm going to try to focus as much attention on these people, even if we have to take, you know, we're on it 7 days a week, but if we have to do something on another day to bring some of these people in addition to our Buy American Made movement on Wednesdays. You know, Mark, people have been so impressed with our efforts this year for December as National Small Business Weekend, and I hope that you'll take the suggestion of that Chamber of Commerce group up your way and be our spokesman, because that's what we really need for people to get more and more involved. Some people felt that, you know, a lot of the stores that are in the shopping areas and all, they're not all selling 100% American. I said, no, this is not 100% American. Whatever the store is doing at this time, it's to help them stay where they are and hopefully be able to get more products in the door that represent products made in the United States of America. You know, Mark, the biggest problem that we have in the United States, and I want to also bring in Bruce and Larkin on this, is it has to be addressed. And it's being discussed in China, in India, but not really in the United States. There are three most populated countries in the world. Number one, China, has 1,439,000,000 people. They have a representative in America looking for every industry and job possible for them to gather up to employ the Chinese people. India has 1,380,000,000 people. They have representatives in the United States at all times looking for every industry and job possible so that they can employ their people. In the United States of America, we have 330 million people, and I am struggling to find what department in Washington or in individual states has representatives looking to bring industries and jobs to the United States, or at least keep industries and jobs that we have right now in the United States. That's a, you know, those just the top three populated countries. When you look at all the countries of the world, many have 40 million, 45 million, but America has 331 million. And I want to also add before I open this idea up for discussion is, you know, for the first 200 years, America's economy depended on being things made here in the United States. And not only did they supply the American people, they were also a world supplier the way China and India has become. In the late 1970s and the 1980s, they started to have great, well-spoken representatives from those countries talk to America's businessmen and say, come and make your products, or at least a portion of your products, here in our country, and it will all be a bigger and better world. Well, many of our business people thought that was the thing to do, and they did it. Our efforts here on American Workers Radio is our regular campaigns trying to see what we can do to keep the jobs we have and get some of the jobs that we have here in the USA to expand right here in the United States. And we don't have enough people. I have contacted the Department of Commerce in Washington, D.C. 11 times. I am still waiting for the proper representative to contact me to tell me how the process is of keeping jobs in America. Now, coming to the city of Philadelphia, where we are located, there are always these groups of people from China, from India, these fact finders, these business seekers. They're always around. I could invite them here to our exhibit hall, and there would be no trouble. But I can't find on the American side the people that I'm supposed to be in contact with. Now, I did make contact with some state and local people, but they fear coming on anybody's broadcast. They won't go on Rich Zioli or Dom Giordano, nobody. They won't go on because they don't want to be asked questions that they may not like answering. And I think that 2023 has to be the year where we start asking a lot of questions. Because, Mark, if you needed to send people to have some business open in the New York area, where do you go? That's the question. Where do you go? Yet if you said, I want to send out some of my manufacturing overseas, no problem. People located right in New York City, here in Philadelphia, in Delaware. Delaware is the state where more businesses are registered because the taxes are very low or non-existent in some way. And you can find any kind of, you know, business opportunity to take the business out of the United States. This has not been addressed by our national people. It's not been addressed by our local people. And in fact, I did have one particular councilman in Philadelphia give me the name of a very nice gentleman. I spoke to him on the phone. I invited him on the radio, and he said, I'm on conferences. I don't want to be quoted, blah, blah, blah. So this has to be addressed in the year 2023. Larkin, can I turn to you for a minute and ask you, if you were in my situation, would you continue to pursue this idea?
Well, good morning, Mike, Mark, Henry, Rich in absentia, and I think Bruce is on. I hear what you're saying. In a conversation that I had with you just yesterday, I told you about an interview that Brennan had with Jamie Dimon on the CBS program, Face the Nation, excuse me. And Jamie Dimon is probably the biggest banker in the world. He's the chairman of the board of and president of J.P. Morgan. And it ended up being 34 minutes of discussion, which is an odd amount of time for anybody to be interviewed on the television about the world situation. And before I turn to Bruce to kind of get his feelings, what we need to realize is that we cannot survive without a complete and total recognition that we are a spoke in the wheel of the world economy. And, you know, we've always, much to our credit, always said, we don't want to build everything that happens in the world. That can't possibly happen. But we want 50%, you know. I don't know that a percentage is even important as much as we want to create an atmosphere. Listen, and I'm going to quote Jamie Dimon. He said, I think it's very important for people to understand America is the most prosperous nation the world has ever seen. Our basic principles of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion are unbelievable. The innovation in this country is unparalleled anywhere around the world. So start with that. It's an amazing position of strength. We are in a position of strength. And if we are going to be a world leader, we have to consider who it is that we're leading. It's not Kentucky or North Dakota or New Mexico, California, Arizona. It's the world. We are the leaders of the free world. And I think in many places in this interview, which I think everybody should go back into the library, find and watch, I think he talked about China. We really don't want to look at the world as enemies. We don't have any enemies. Nobody's attacking. I mean, we do have enemies, believe me. We have enemies. But we're not in an open war, and so it's through leadership. It's through wonderful relationships that we have with our allies in Europe, Canada, Mexico, South America. Everybody kind of turns for their, you know, where are we right now? 2,500 immigrants crossing the border a day into this country. And there's very few, if any, leaving. Everybody wants to be here. Everybody wants to be a part of a nation who has this amazing position of strength in the world where opportunities are just absolutely endless. But it's very important that we understand that our government, as well as our chambers of commerce and our manufacturers, both small and large, understand that we are but a cog in the wheel of this the world, the beautiful blue marble that we live on. And so is it important? Yeah. I mean, I think everybody's hair would curl in place if they ever heard how much of the five boroughs of New York City that are owned by foreigners, China, mm-hmm. Japan. That's a little scary. Nobody should own our soil. We should own our soil. Nobody should own Smithfield ham, yet the Chinese do. Largest producer of pork in the world. There's some amazing circumstances here, and I agree. There are two things missing, as far as I'm concerned, coming out of Washington. That is policy, international policy, that supports us as the leaders of the world. Putin's not the leader of the world. Somebody needs to stand up to him and bring this war in Ukraine to a close. And the other thing is a sense of support, a sense of belief that we genuinely are an unbelievable country. And we're in an amazing position of strength. And I don't even see a cent of that. I mean, I see a president signing the recognition of marriage bill and making a big deal of that, and it, with all of these problems going on. I just...
Amen.
I don't get it. I don't. Why is that? I mean, I support it. I don't have any problem with it. I'm not. I don't disagree with it. I'm just saying that this country has to establish priorities, and it has to take a leadership role. It has to understand that we are the best in the world. We have problems, yes, but there is not a single alternative country that comes even close to how unbelievable we are and how amazing we are as a country and the unbelievable innovation. So let's feed the innovation. Let's continue to have China coming over here to try to steal the answers that we come up with. And let's promote that. We need immediate results. And that's why I wanted to give some thought to making a comment about, yeah, we need trade schools, but we're not going to get people out of those trade schools for 6 years, maybe seven. So what do we do for the next 7 years? How do we fix this? Some very, very good, solid companies that believe that America is the best place in the world train, have unbelievable training programs for their own employees, apprenticeship programs, all the way up to even business training. So, you know, it's a mishmash of problems, and we've got to come up with answers. We have to come up with...
Larkin, I want to ask you, how do you feel a lot of these problems came about?
Well, I try to live my life by a comment that my father made to me as I was driving across the Ohio Turnpike when I was, I think, 17 or maybe 18 years old. I was driving his car, and he was riding shotgun because he hated to drive. And here's a 17-year-old, I'm bopping down the Ohio, and I kept on looking into my rearview mirror, and he said, son, that rearview mirror is there for a purpose. Don't overplay it. All of the important activities happening in front of you. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes on the road. Mirrors are put there to glance at if you want to make a move without interfering with somebody behind you. But if you're looking in the rearview mirror, you're not paying attention to what's happening in front of you. So I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about how we got here. I really want to correct it. I think we're at a point in history where if we do the right things, if we respond in the right way to the critical issues that face this little blue marble that we live on, that we'll do just fine. Obviously, things aren't happening in Washington, D.C. We go from one president who's just an egomaniacal liar to the president that we have now that it's not lying when he says it. I guess it's an exaggeration. I don't know. But for somebody to tell me that we finally have inflation under control, I wish I could go to his house and borrow whatever it is he's smoking, because it'd probably make me feel a little bit better too. But that's the problem. We've had some pretty bum leadership of late. We really have. If I could find anybody alive now and send them to Washington, D.C. and say, kick some ass and get things in order, you know, it'd be Bill Clinton. I'd send Bill Clinton tomorrow morning, and I'd say, listen, you're old enough now that your appetite for a few different things probably is somewhat waning. Get to work and make it happen. Because, you know, beyond those issues that he had, he was a good president. He really was. He got stuff done. And that's what we need to do now.
We need you're absolutely right, and we do have an opportunity come January with the new Congress coming in. If we could get them to stop thinking we're just going to be Democrats and Republicans, and getting them to think we all represent the American people. You know, Larkin, the 30 years of the past, the looking at the rearview mirror, very good. Your dad was a very wise man. But I will tell you this. For the last almost 2 years, come January the 20th, we will be watching something that happened right before our eyes. And the leaders in Washington did nothing, as they've done nothing, to restore the trades in the schools and everything else. No matter what level of parenting and home and school association got after the elected people to restore the trades in the schools, they did not react. They continue to say that the hardworking jobs will be overseas and America will have all the better high-class jobs. That never happened in day one, and it's not going to happen in the future, because the people that we need to replace the day-to-day jobs of fixing air conditioning, which are all very well-paid jobs, air conditioning, heating, electricity, building, they're all wonderful jobs. As the people retire, there's no one to replace them. My point is this. We've watched people in Washington in the last 2 years, after the executive order was signed by President Biden in January of 21, did nothing to try to stop the order to stop fuel the exploration and drilling and the Keystone Pipeline in the United States of America. Yep. They watched it and did nothing. I've talked to many of them, and they're only worried about their own ass. Yep. Will they be able to get reelected if some hierarchy of the party knocks them down?
Exactly. You know, it became such a reality TV show. Like Larkin, like you said, the same-sex marriage and everything, not that it's not important, it's not the top priority. The economies have changed through time. We've had the invention of the automobile, the radio, the TV, the internet. Economies change. We're in an economy. We've got to figure this out, like Larkin, you always say. We've had the pandemic. They shut the world off. They made major mistakes. But then you get elected officials making terrible decisions with executive orders. There's just no thought. They don't take on a problem and figure it out, get a group of smart people together. That's the problem. They just keep going on worried about reelection. That same-sex marriage is all about getting reelected.
That's right.
And they still criticize the state. They criticize the governor of the state of Florida. I don't care what party he is. I guess I'm kind of glad that he's a Republican. But he did a marvelous job. I mean, he absolutely refused to shut the entire state down. Age-wise, where the we've got all the senior citizens coming down here to retire, and a large bite of what we lost as far as people are concerned were in fact those people. our state came through this unbelievable event, not untouched, but I mean we lost fewer businesses than any other state. We have the highest credit rating of any state in the nation. Our bond rating is the highest in the nation. We have a surplus. We don't have an income tax. I mean, how do you criticize this? And yet there are partisans out there who say he's a lousy governor. He's just a lot more, he's more of what's his, Trump. Sorry, out of sight and out of mind. And that's, what a hollow approach to take to the current political situation in this country. So we'll see. We'll see how it develops. Trump is not going to run for president. If he does, he won't get by the party. My fear is that if he doesn't get by the Republican Party or accepted by the Republican Party, that he's going to create his own party, splinter the vote, and do the same thing that Ross Perot did. So I don't know.
Larkin, and I look forward to the next presidential election, but I'm concerned, working in human services, I'm concerned about people telling me that inflation is killing them, like they've never seen in many, many, many years or in their entire life. And no one in America is really trying to address some of the reasons why inflation has overwhelmed America. You know, every getting the chicken hatched, you know, the eggs hatched and to the store and all, it's killing us. It's killing everything around us, Mark.
These are the worst times we've seen in a long time. And I'm telling you, I credit the SBA, but the PPP number one, PPP number two, the EIDL SBA loan. You know, now they got the payroll retention credit. If you didn't have these plans, this country would be in worse shape than ever. You still got rapid inflation, product shortage. You can't get Ford trucks, F-250s, 350s. Nothing goes away, but they choose what to talk to on the news. These are tough times. Up here, we've got natural gas rising. Our electric's doubled. Our insurance went to 42% increase. Mike, you've never seen nothing like it, but they don't talk about it.
No, there's no discussion.
And you're going to see businesses going out.
Why one politician, which I will be good enough not to mention his name, but he'll know because Joe does listen to the broadcast. He said to me, why are you so worried about pushing the inflation issue? And you know what I said? I said, Joe, because checking accounts and savings accounts don't fill themselves. People worked hard for their money. They saved money, and now inflation is going to destroy them. Many of them who are living on Social Security are now going to bankrupt their savings accounts over inflation. And what is the real reason all of this inflation started? Over this executive order. What I want the Congress and the Senate to do is discuss, is this really going to benefit us right now? Or do we have to do something now to allow what was done in the year 2020? I don't give a damn who was the president. In the year 2020, the way the fuel was flowing in this country, we could have helped other countries of the world, including ourselves. We have more fuel in this country, plus the Keystone Line coming from Alaska, from Canada, and everything else. And it's all been stopped by an executive order. It's killing everything. To take the eggs to market has put the eggs up 40% wherever you shop.
Better.
Everything. Mark, you know better than anybody.
And yet the
people in Washington are saying the constituents are not calling about that. What the hell are they talking about? The constituents are not calling. Why is the national media not talking about ways we could resolve this? They give you the news, great news. How about ways to resolve the issues? Right now in the United States of America, we have 1% of the cars that are electric oriented or the hybrids. That means 99% of the cars need fossil fuels. The House and the Senate should be discussing that on a daily basis. 24 hours a day, a committee should be discussing how are we going to get things back to order, back to the order they were in the year 2020. Because if everything keeps going up, nothing is going to be able to be focused on the trades coming back to the schools. Even Williamson University. Their costs are going up. They're going to be not able to take in the total number of boys that they want for those programs. Everything is rising, 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 rising. This doesn't make sense.
Listen, I don't know what the government can do. Like in exceptional situations like COVID, with the PPP program, a lot of small businesses survived. A lot of mid-sized and large businesses survived as a result of that help. But what what the current administration fails to realize is that any program that you create has got to be sustainable. You can't throw gasoline on the fire to keep warm, and when you're out of gas, the fire goes out. You've got to go collect wood and put it, you know, you got to make plans, and it's got to be sustainable. And they haven't done anything in that at all that was, that sustains us and the economy that we're in. You know, when you build a fire, when you run out of heat, you build a fire, and when you don't have a match, the government gives you gasoline, and you throw gasoline on the fire, and everybody's warm and go, isn't this great?
Larkin,
thank you very much, the government.
Bruce and Mark, I want to ask you this question. Would you want to see the House and the Senate address the reasons for inflation in America and ways to bring down the cost of operating a house, a business, and an organization? I think that should be their first priority. Bruce, what do you say about that?
I don't think it will be their first priority, but I think that they're not going to do anything except in a partisan manner.
Well, see, that Bruce, in a partisan manner, takes away from the good things that could happen in America, because there's so much time focused on partisan politics and not the good of the people of the United States of America, the people paying the taxes, the people sending their children to school, and the elderly who have worked and saved who are being bankrupted by foolish leadership. Yep, to me, it's foolish leadership.
Well, I don't think that anything's going to get done in the near future without some serious.
I have to tell you this too. I've been listening in the last 2 weeks of some of the priorities that they have been putting on the desk, trying to dig up past issues that have happened 3 and 4 years ago about the president's son or whatever. That should be done by some committee of volunteers, not people we are electing and sending to Washington to represent the United States and its people. That should all be done, you know, as their own agenda. We need to tell these people in the United States in a big way that it's time for them to work together as elected people, people who are there to represent their communities. Also, I've been telling the politicians, I said, why is it that you do not come out into the communities as you did 10 years ago? When an election was coming, they would come to some kind of a community forum or something. None of that's been happening in 10 years. It's way before COVID. They said, the congressman's schedule is so unbelievably taken up. By who? Oh, he's very busy. No, I'd like to see those congressmen, those state representatives, the council people in the communities talking to the people, to see what is really on the minds of the people. They're not doing that. That's why they don't like somebody like myself, because I will tell them what it's all about.
Good luck with that. They're teaming up over there to have purely partisan fights up on Capitol Hill there. Nobody's talking about any decent policy.
Right. No policy is being addressed. I want to see what policy. I would like to see, quite frankly, what we talked about here 22 months ago, and that is getting the energy issue put on the top for discussion. We don't need to pick on President Biden or Nancy Pelosi or any of the people who promote it. Let's talk about common sense issues. What are we going to do to make the United States of America the best place to live, number one, and the best place to open a business, and the best place to raise a family and enjoy life. That's not being discussed. It's all policy, partisan politics. When I was getting the flyers for the election for various levels of the government, senators and congressmen and all, I looked at those flyers and I said, what is this person looking to do besides slap the other guy in the face?
Well, you can talk to her.
Hello? Yes, you can talk to my wife.
Yes. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we may have lost Bruce for a moment. You know, people worked hard for what they have. And the people who are younger now should be given a better education so that they would have a skill and be able to work and save and not be, you know, dependent upon all sorts of government programs because they didn't have and don't have the opportunities to move forward. Mark, what do you think of those ideas?
Yeah, I mean, Mike, like we talk about, we've just got to get, how do we get them to actually do action? Like we call it tangible proof of change here. You know, lip service is one thing, Mike, but tangible proof of change is another thing. We have to get, you know, leaders to get involved and know business. If they got fat bank accounts, they don't feel this recession. You know, the fixed income people, a middle class has taken a beating, you know, and they keep quiet. I can't understand. They cannot like these times, Mike. And I'm not sure how you get it done, but you got to talk it up. You got to keep complaining because you can't accept and like these times. I don't see no light for 2023, and I'm positive. We got to figure and adjust, but it's very, very tough on these people. And unfortunately, with disposable income down, it keeps their heads down. It keeps people trying to work or try to get ways to get money. And it makes the country more negative. That's why I like when things were rolling with the economy good. Everybody gets a little more positive, Mike. They got a little bit more cushion, right?
Right. Everybody felt that they were on the right road, the road to success, that something was going to happen. The minute this gas, fuel, Keystone line and all stopped, it became a negative.
What a shame.
It's absolutely, but I feel we could turn things around and make it better if the people in the Congress devoted their time and efforts into discussing the issue. As I mentioned before, 99% of the cars in America require fossil fuels. It's not going to happen over in the next 2 or 3 years. We have to restore exploration of fossil fuels and all and make it better. And our cars are operating much better than they have, and much more fuel efficient and, you know, less pollution and all. We have to address all this. With the stroke of the pen, things like this cannot happen and should never be able to happen again. Because with this, I am hearing from people that they are taking their savings out the door. All the property, all the taxes have continued to go up. Property taxes didn't go down as a result of inflation. Now the interest rate is going up, which means no matter how hard a person works, if they're operating a business or they're working in an office or manufacturing things, if they bought a house, they're going to have to pay the higher interest rate. It was reported that some of the people are going to have to pay $400 and $500 more per month on their mortgage payment just to get over with these higher interest rates. That's not what is going to do good for America. I mean, if it was half that amount or a quarter of that amount, we could live with it. If gas never went over where it was in the year 2020, America and all this inflation would not be where it is. The thing is, too many people decided they want to play games. They're worried about this one's son and this one's this and this one that. It doesn't mean anything to me. None of that, at the end of the day, benefits you, Mark, you, Larkin, you, Bruce, Henry, or Rich Logis, or anybody else, it benefits no listener or their family that they cannot wake up tomorrow and say, I have a job to go to. I'm very happy with what I do. I can earn. I can save. I can buy things, and I can live without stress. That is not happening in America. And worst of all, that is not being discussed in Washington, D.C. Larkin, you started the program off by saying that he's saying it's the best economy and all, less this and that. Yeah, it's a dreamland because the people in Washington have been given the opportunity to eat with a silver and gold spoon for too long. Because the American people have not spoken up. And by the way, when I went to the polls to vote in November, I was there for quite a while. And I knew quite a few people. And I did some discussions. And you know what the people say? I don't even know if it's worth it to come out and vote. I don't even know anything about the person that I'm coming out to vote, whether they were Republicans or Democrats. That person just told me how much he doesn't like the other person who's running for the job in his literature. I know nothing about the person or the party I'm voting for. That is what has to change in America. That's the biggest thing I could see, because America's national leaders have to start working together as Democrats, Republicans, as independents for the well-being of the American people. Young, old, in between, those to be born in the future. That's not happening. Just as I mentioned earlier, I called the Department of Commerce to ask who are the representatives that work with businesses. There's no contact. Well, you know, we'll try to contact, get you somebody in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or whatever. That's other countries have people at the snap of a finger ready to talk to you about, you're ready to sell your business, we may have a customer for you. We have realtors in the United States ready to sell your house. That's great. But how about people in the United States who are looking to purchase businesses so those businesses remain on our soil, just as we're talking, so that we don't have all the pig farmers and all these other industries owned by foreigners within our own country? When my first cell phone came about, it was owned by Texas Instrument in the state of Texas. That same type of phone, that same brand of phone, is now 100% owned, operated, and made in China. This is the report card that we've been going through all these years, and the people in Washington say, Michael, you don't know how hard it is to make these discussions possible. That's my point today. How do we wise these people up to get these discussions on the plate, on the table? They need people like us to motivate them. I need to get all the radio people that I know and more of them to start demanding results and put an agenda on their table. Not worry about the past. Look forward, Larkin, as your father said. Look forward, not in the back mirror.
So I've got to say this. You know, we talk about all this change, and I think we take a very shallow kind of, we've got the pistol in our hands, and we've got it over our shoulder, and we're trying to shoot somebody behind us. I think it's very important to understand that there's probably not a country, including China, that we don't have a current trade agreement with. Mm-hmm. We have a trade agreement with all of them.
Yes.
We can't, I mean, these agreements are supposed to be enforceable, and in many cases they are. They protect patents, they protect technology, even when foreign companies, and they do, I've experienced it myself personally, come over here and try to steal your technology. I can tell you that I was running a company that was in bankruptcy in Tampa, Florida, and we we made compactors for red bag waste. Very specific detail. And one day, the secretary came in my office and said, there's three Chinese guys, or three Asian guys standing out in the hall in the vestibule. I'd like to speak to you. And they wanted permission to go through and take a look at our processes and take pictures. And I said, well, we've got patents on all of this. Oh, we don't want to disturb patents. Bull hockey. That's exactly why they were there. Every one of them had a camera, and they wanted to steal the successful portion of our technology. So we have to protect ourselves. And if there really are realtors running around with people from the Far East trying to buy our businesses, that to me is a huge red flag. And I can't answer the question. I wish I could. I will be able to answer it next week. But can one buy a business if the new owner's not a citizen?
If you buy hook, line, and sinker, yes. Yes, we're a free market economy. You can do what you feel. If you feel you want to sell it to your grandmother in Florida, or you want to sell it to Joe Schmo in another country, that's your prerogative. This is a free nation. I mean, they have all these rules and regulations that help others, but not rules and regulations that help us as the American people. As the American youth are growing up and ready to go out into the world. These are the things. I'd like to make 2023 a very exciting year, and I'm going to invite more political people to come on. If they say, oh, we can't spend an hour, no problem. 10 or 15 minutes will do the trick. We will question them accordingly, and boy, I can't believe an hour passed. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, Bruce, Larkin, Mark, and Henry, thank you for all that you've done. If you live in the areas of all those newspapers throughout the Northeast Times area, make sure you check out the advertisement promoting December as National Small Business Month. Spread it around to family and friends, and there is a link right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And check that link out. And also, while you're there, there is a video, All American Christmas, which is highlighting Mark Andel's store. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Send them to me at michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I always give people a reply. And a lot of times, the things you send me, I share on this radio program as a question from the people. Until next Wednesday at 11, may God bless you and may God bless America. Thank you, Larkin, Bruce, Mark, and Henry. And we'll see Rich Logis one day soon. God bless.